you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number Randy just mentioned that you can dial to have your questions answered live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I also did a health update on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. I did that early this morning. It's a bit of a mixed bag, although I feel great. Again, if you want to see the health update, the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. I want to mention something about what's going on in America. Our downward spiral is nothing short of staggering. Popularization of the pill in the 60s, well, that paved the way for the horror of Roe versus Wade in the 70s. Acceptance of same-sex sexuality in the 20th century mutated. It mutated into the legalization of same-sex marriage in the 21st century. And now the legalization of medical marijuana has become the Trojan horse for legalizing recreational marijuana in places like Washington, D.C., and at least 10 other states. The number of Americans that now use cannabis is soaring. And the cannabis that they are using is far more potent than ever before. In the 70s, pot contained less than 2% THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. Today, it routinely contains more than 20% THC. And first-rate primary research demonstrates a significant increase in such psychoses as schizophrenia. And that's just the tip of an insidious iceberg. Unfortunately, there are lots of people in positions of power who are lying about this. 2020 presidential candidate Cory Booker tells anyone who will listen that the states that have legalized pot are seeing a decrease in violent crime. Of course, reality is precisely the opposite. And most surely he knows that. Kamala Harris, she characterizes the legalization of pot as an issue of morality, racial justice. And of course, there are many other pot legalization advocates like Kirsten Gillibrand, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, even former Speaker of the House John Boehner, who's using the pot popularity explosion to line his pockets at the expense of public health and safety. The dangers inherent in pot can be easily remembered. In fact, I developed POT into an acronym, P-O-T. The P represents psychophysical problems. That includes all kinds of things, diminished cognitive function, memory impairment, panic attacks, psychotic episodes, hallucinations, sleep deprivation, the list goes on and on. Not to mention respiratory illnesses and detectable alterations in the structure and chemistry of the brain. Occult dangers. Think about this. Psychoactive substances in pot pave a dangerous pathway into the dubious world of the occult. In China, Taoist shamans employ cannabis to connect with ancestors in the spirit world. This is part of ancestor worship. In India, devotees smoke ganja while making oblations to the Hindu god Shiva. Sufi Muslims, well, they use cannabis as a contrivance for various spiritual explorations. And in the West, Rastafarians, they use the weed to indulge in spurious religious rituals. Of course, while becoming one with the cosmic consciousness of the universe might sound glamorous, the skeletal remains of such perilous spiritual diversions are hardly insignificant. THC, remember that. THC liabilities, tetrahydrocannabinol, the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, is vastly more potent today than it was 30 years ago. Let me put that another way. This is not the pot Bernie Sanders experimented with. There's simply no excuse for politicians like Sanders to continue to seduce the public into believing that there's no connection between pot and maladies like mental illness and violence. Hard data on the relationship between marijuana and madness dates back at least 150 years. So here's the point. If you need talking points to convince family members or friends or even remind yourself of what is at stake while you're at the ballot box, here they are. POT. P-O-T. The psychophysical problems, the occult dangers, and the THC liabilities. And one more time, what I would like to do is underscore the reality that what the culture is telling us, what powerful political figures are telling us today, is simply untrue. They're leading us into a quagmire. And as a result of that, we're going to, well, reap the whirlwind. Well, let's go to our callers. First up is John in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, John.
How you doing, Hank? Thank you for what you just said. I really totally agree with the thing about marijuana. I just wanted to say, I want to ask you a question. There's a very wonderful lady on the radio, and I want to ask you a question on. She's got a program called Understanding the Times with Jan Markell. Olive Tree Views, and I really agree with a lot of what she says. She seems like a really sweet lady, but there is a problem. One of the things she says, she's with pre-trib rapture, and one of the things she says seems to have some anti-Semitic overtones, and that is after the rapture, not only is the earth destroyed, but Israel is destroyed. And I, biblically speaking, the question I wanted to ask you, it seems like when the Lord comes back, he actually destroys the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth, binds Satan 1,000 years, and when the church, the elect, is gathered up, they will rule and reign on the earth, and that's, I don't think that's a destroyed earth. And Israel, far from being destroyed, recognizes his second coming, and all Israel is saved. So it really goes all, it seems to be sensationalism and selling of books rather than reality. What does CRI have on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that there's any warrant whatsoever to believe that Revelation is talking about a pre-tribulational rapture. Moreover, I don't think that there's any validity in saying that 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about a pre-tribulational rapture. I think 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about the great and glorious hope of resurrection. But to the point of your question, although I don't agree with the premise, to the point of the question, there simply is no biblical basis for a coming 7-year tribulation during which the vast majority of Jews are going to die. Now, that is not to suggest that Jews have not faced that kind of tribulation in the past. Who can forget the terrible 7-year tribulation suffered by the Jews during the beastly reign of Antiochus IV Epiphanes? He plundered the temple treasury. He dedicated dedicated the sanctuary to the Olympian god Zeus, sacrificed a pig on the altar, and so forth. And the annual Holocaust is remembered by the Hanukkah celebration, which, of course, celebrates freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. Jews have faced Holocaust in the past, but there's no warrant to suggest that two-thirds of the Jews are going to die in a bloody Holocaust that exceeds anything that's ever happened in the past. So I think you have to learn to read Revelation in the sense in which it's intended. I wrote about that in a book called The Apocalypse Code, and I don't think that there's any warrant for believing that we're going to have a bloody Holocaust of Jews during the tribulation period when Christians are raptured. Be back with more in just a moment.
The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard is a guidebook on how to live as Christ lived, directed to those who hope to be His disciples. The Spirit of the Disciplines details why disciplines are essential to our deliverance from the concrete power of sin and outlines the ways they can help each of us glorify God in our bodies. To receive your copy of The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Get the number to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Clifford in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Clifford.
Yes, sir. Hank, when the apostles chose Matthias to replace Judas, it seemed like it was kind of in a Mickey Mouse fashion, like drawing lots or straws or something, as opposed to something more spiritual. I've heard it suggested that they were presumptuous in doing that, and that Matthias actually was not the choice that God wanted, but rather Paul should have been the replacement. What do you say?
Well, I don't think that you'd call it Mickey Mouse, because this was the way in which the Old Testament patriarchs and saints discerned the will of God. So it was practiced in ancient times long before the time of the early church. I do think that this was the choice that God gave, but God gave a fuller choice to the 12 with the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. And you can look at this in various ways. I mean, think about Judas. Judas was part of the 12, and yet Judas was a devil. And so Judas was replaced by Matthias and ultimately by the apostle to the Gentiles, who played the greatest role, really, of all in the New Testament church. When you think of the fact that Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, and obviously is responsible to a large degree for the propagation of the gospel, not just in Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth.
So the 12 apostles who have their names on the stones of the foundation of the New Jerusalem, that would not include Paul?
Well, I think it would include Paul. That's why I say, I mean, you have not a fixed number. Oftentimes, the numbers, like the numbers of the tribes, aren't fixed. You see various lists of the tribes in the Old Testament. Same thing is true with respect to the apostles. Judas was not a true apostle of Jesus Christ, even though he was in the inner circle of Jesus Christ and was very, very close in terms of his capacities. He was in charge of the quote-unquote money bag, as it's often proffered. But Judas was not a true apostle, and he was replaced when it was demonstrated that he was not a true apostle. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he was the least of the apostles, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not of no effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God working through me. So the apostle Paul, in a very humble way, is demonstrating that God chose to work his grace through him for a very large capacity in terms of the propagation.
Yeah, Hank, very quickly, Matthew and Luke, the differences in the genealogies, one is Joseph and one is Mary, correct?
There are various ways of explaining that. And I've actually written about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collectors of Edition. But the very fact that there are various ways of explaining that demonstrates that no contradiction is involved there. I can send you what I've written in the Bible Answer Book, but in fairness to everybody hanging on, let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Carolyn, listening on the web. Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's awesome. I was calling because I had a friend of mine who was diagnosed with cancer, and like stage four, and she's in the last stages of life now, and so we're curious about when someone passes away, does their spirit go directly to heaven or whatever, I guess, or hell? Or is there like a waiting period before judgment, or does judgment happen right away?
Yeah, so what happens is there is a judgment of sorts, but it is part of the intermediate state. So as a believer, when you die, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. When a woman gives birth, she gives birth to both the physical and the metaphysical aspect of humanity. It's not just the body, but it's the body and the soul and spirit. So when someone dies, the non-physical aspect of their humanity is absent the body, present with the Lord. When Jesus appears a second time, then the non-physical aspect of humanity is combined again or reunited with the physical aspect. The body is resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So if you die as a believer, you are among that great cloud of witnesses that Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So that great cloud of witnesses is urging us on. And so you have existence in the presence of God. You have awareness. You don't have awareness. You don't have extension in space because you no longer have a body, but you do have awareness. So I often say there's life after life, and then there's life after life after life, meaning that there's life after life. We die, we're in the presence of the Lord as believers. There's life after life after life, in that when Jesus appears a second time, we experience the eternal state. Those who are believers experience the felicities of heaven, and those who are not believers are separated from the goodness of grace and grace of God for all eternity, because that is precisely what they want.
Mm-hmm. So there's an unbeliever, when they die, like, would they go straight to wherever there's supposed to go if they reject God?
Well,
do they like float around and wait until the judgments, or the judgments happen right away?
Well, again, to answer that question, I think I appeal to Jesus Christ, who told a parable of a rich man with a beggar lying at his gate, a beggar named Lazarus. The rich man died, the beggar also. And the rich man found himself in torment, so he's experiencing an earnest of hell. Lazarus experienced comfort in Abraham's bosom, which is a way of talking about being in the presence of God. Both Lazarus and the rich man are going to experience the time of judgment, and then they'll be eternally separated from God. So one is temporary, the other is eternal.
Okay. That's what I think I missed the question. So that totally makes sense to me now. Thank you so much.
You got it, Carolyn. Thank you for your call. Drew next in Benton, Arkansas, listening on the web. Hi, Drew.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yep. Sound good.
Great. I appreciate you taking the time.
Pleasure.
My question was about baptism and the debate, for lack of a better word, about being baptized in Jesus' name or being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what your thoughts were.
Yeah, my thoughts are that the idea that you should be baptized in the name of Jesus only is a function of error begetting error. The belief that you have to be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led groups like Oneness Pentecostals to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And therefore, if you talk to oneness adherents, they will tell you that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. So we ought to be baptized in the name that is revealed in Scripture, the one God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not that God appears in different modes or manifestations, but there are eternal subject-object relationships within the triadic one. Now, this is something that is beyond our ability to fully comprehend, but nonetheless, this is what the Bible clearly teaches. The Bible teaches that there's only one God, that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. By the way, let me say that the Oneness Pentecostals not only hold to this heresy, and it's been called out by the Assemblies of God very early on in their history, back in 1914, thereabouts. But they also hold to other heresies. For example, they hold to legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with the evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And as one can imagine, that has placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues. Those who don't speak in tongues in this view are thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant. So this is a very extreme group, and as are the other groups that deny the Trinity. One great example of that, of course, would be Islam. Islam is fiercely monotheistic, denying the Trinity. They're Unitarian. But their Unitarian God is a God that lacks the attribute of love, because to love, there has to be an object of your love independent of the universe. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.